All right, every Monday and Friday we get together two fantastic gentlemen. It's Brother Johnny in Houston, Texas. Hey, Johnny.
TBJ.
I had to ask him and write it down, but I know he's in Houston, Texas today. Mike Ditka, Hall of Famer, icon, great guy in Detroit. You're at a golf tournament, Mike?
Yeah, we got a golf tournament. MGM's putting a thing on here, and they're helping out the Gridiron Greats. And they're honoring a couple of the old lines. Joe Schmidt is a good friend of mine, Mike Lucci. So they asked me to come up, and I flew up yesterday and had dinner with him last night at the MGM resort here. And then I'm getting ready to go over to the golf course now, and then we'll play golf, and then I'll go home tonight.
Well, brother.
Maybe you'll win another one, Mike.
Yeah.
No, I'm terrible. Listen, I'm playing with rented clubs. Maybe that'll help.
Well, I'll tell you something. We were in Canton, Ohio this weekend, and Mary went through the Hall of Fame, and she was showing me a picture of the Mike Ditka bust.
Steve. Yeah,
it's quite a place there, Mike, and we had a good time.
Well,
yeah, Canton, Ohio. Hall of Fame's a nice deal, yeah, it really is.
And I tell you what, Mike, you've been a Hall of Famer now for 23 years? Holy mackerel, is that right? That time flies when you're having fun. And again, great display on Mike Ditka. And Johnny, we also found out that perhaps the first professional football player is related to us.
Yeah, we started all this pro stuff, I guess. Now, it was on our grandfather's side, a guy named Pudge Heffelfinger, first pro paid player.
I played with him, John.
I don't know
that good. I just get Pudge Heffelfinger. Everybody knows who Pudge Heffelfinger is.
It was the 1890s, Johnny. You got paid $500 a game or something?
I don't know. It was a lot of money.
Not even that. It wouldn't even been that. It would have been $50 a game.
Yeah. Well, in any event, Canton Football Hall of Fame is a great visit. And be sure to take a picture of the Mike Ditka bust. And by the way, I gave Johnny a bunch of great Mike Ditka product, and he's got a bunch of great products. We're going to try and place them in Champaign-Urbana because I cannot wait to put those Mike Ditka ribs on my grill. Boy, they look good, Mike. They really
do. Mike,
we had,
of course, Don and Betty Rice, Stevie, picked some fresh sweet corn for us, and we had that with some Mike Ditka Pinot Grigio white wine.
Oh, it's so good.
Boy, that's good, Mike.
That white wine, people.
You can ask my wife about that. She does about a case a day.
We better slow her down.
Yeah, really. Pinot Grigio white wine, Mike Ditka white wine is a phenomenal white wine. So, anyway, great to have you both on. Okay, last night, it was pretty late. You heard this.
Now, this process has been messy. It's taken far too long. I've been concerned about the impact that it has had on business confidence and consumer confidence and the economy as a whole over the last month. It will begin to lift the cloud of debt and the cloud of uncertainty that hangs over our economy. Most importantly, it will allow us to avoid default and end the crisis that Washington imposed on the rest of America. Is this the deal I would have preferred? No.
That's the president last night announcing that the leadership had come to an agreement on the debt ceiling, and the leadership had said yes, but they still got to get the votes. Will they get those votes, Johnny?
Boy, I don't know. I'll tell you, they're down to the wire again, backs up against the wall again, can't read it again. From what I've heard, seems like same thing, Mike. Really, nothing.
I listened
absolutely
a little bit this morning,
nothing.
Yeah. And I listened a little bit this morning, and you know, I think they might make it. I think that enough people are leaning that way. I think this deal could have been struck before this, but you know, it's really, you're right. It's not a great deal for anybody, really, because you're really not attacking the problem of balancing the budget and really cutting spending, and those things have to happen. Now, I understand all the stuff about if you want to get more taxes out of people, just restructure the tax scale. You know, somebody I listened to Fox this morning said 51% of the people in this country pay no federal income tax. Now, they do pay, you know, sales taxes and that, but no federal income tax. Now, if that's true, that's wrong. Because when you're talking about, you know, class warfare, then you're creating it by doing that. Everybody should pay their fair share. I disagree with all the loopholes that give these corporations tax breaks to the 19th degree. They should get breaks because they have made investments. But not to the 19th degree. And the other thing is, hey, let everybody pay their fair share. You want to, you know, pitch in You make a dollar, pitch in a quarter, let's see what happens.
Well, I think that everybody should pay something, even if it is 50 cents, because if you don't pay anything, it must not be worth anything. And that's the attitude you're going to get. That's just human nature, Steve, but I don't think we've fixed anything. I don't think we've addressed the problem.
No,
I don't think we've listened to the American people. We want a smaller government, Mike, a smaller one, not a grow, you know, 90% of the rate.
Here's the one thing we have fixed. We have fixed the fact that this deficit ceiling has been raised, and it will not be discussed again until after the election.
Yeah.
That's what the Democrats wanted in the first place.
Yep.
And
so,
listen,
you know, they got their way. Now, if the American public is that stupid, hey, fine, you know, reelect all these dummies. That's your business.
Well, and it isn't just the Democrats, unfortunately, because the Republicans...
I agree with both of them.
Yeah. They have reached a deal. The deal is that... We can't keep arguing about this, at least not till the election's over.
Yeah.
Can we fix it? No. Can we say anything at all? Yes. We'll say something. And they're even agreeing they haven't even done it yet. They're going to get a committee or whatever. I think the first year or two they're going to cut $20 billion, which is something like 50 cents in 100. And that's if you're going from $95 to $100, you're going from $95 to $99.50. Again,
yeah.
Didn't cut anything, cut the rate of growth, and I think that's where there's a big disconnect with a lot of Americans. I don't know what the percentages are, but I don't think we want to continue to grow a consolidated central government because that costs us our freedom as it erodes into various aspects of our life, which we've talked about over and over. So I'm glad we're not in some kind of crisis at midnight. I do think they'll get enough votes to get it over the line, but I'm not very happy with our leadership at this point in time.
How is
and
it?
I got to read something, too.
Yep.
Here's a good one for you. You got to guess who said it. The fact that we are here today to debate raising America's debt limit is a sign of leadership failure, a sign the U.S. government can't pay its bills, a sign we now depend on financial assistance from foreign countries to finance our government's reckless fiscal policies. Increasing America's debt weakens us domestically and internationally. Leadership means the buck stops here. Instead, Washington is shifting the burden of bad choices today onto the backs of our children and grandchildren. America has a debt problem and a failure of leadership. Americans deserve better. Now, 2006, Barack Obama.
Oh.
I got that from Bobby Jindal this morning.
I knew it. There's no question about it.
Oh my God!
You know when you have the gift of gab and the gift of I mean, he says so many things that he contradicts. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, but the only thing is, see, people only hear the one comment. Then they don't go back and listen to the other one or relate the comment today to the one in 06. I mean, it's incredible stuff. I mean, he's the best at it, man.
You talk about
spreading the manure, man. If I ever get a farm, I'm hiring him.
He's amazing. You're right. And of course, Jindal closes, Stevie, with, Mr. President, I wish you were still in the Senate.
Well, what I don't understand, it's 7:42, Brother Johnny, Mike Ditka, 93.5, 95.3, the new Connect FM. They're all on the page when it comes to just continuing to say cuts when they're simply slowing the rate of increases. The increases are crazy. I don't understand how everybody has the same memo, keep saying how much cutting you're doing when they're really not cutting.
Well, because government assumes nobody knows how to run a business except them. So they're involved in everything. So the bigger they get, well, the more things they're involved in, and that's where they want it. And all the regulatory systems, come on, guys. I mean, I understand you have to have regulations, believe me. But to the degree that we have, it gets a little ridiculous now. They bring up things that make no sense at all, believe me.
Well, and I think we go back to the concept of America, which I think that's what we're really debating. And the guys who came up with the new country, we broke away from England, and we wanted as much freedom and independence as we can get. That's what we fight for. That's what we live for. And that's what we lead. Others too, as much of that as we can get. And you can't do that with this monster all-in-companies central government, by the way, which will become the state with a capital S, and you can take away religion. And that's where I think the vision of maybe you would call people radicals who think that's where we're going. I don't know how radical they are, but that's what We started a country where everyone had an equal opportunity to the maximum extent we knew how to do it. And the way we did it was break up all the power. Don't let one guy get too much power. You have the three branches of the federal government. You have break the whole country up into 50 states. You break all them up into districts. Don't let anyone get too much control. And we keep marching towards this consolidation, which we've seen in banking, we've seen in oil, we've seen in communications, and it doesn't work as well as multiple people pitching in.
Can we get back to the no one has too much power, or is the genie out of the bottle?
I don't know, Mike. We're at a bad point, and I don't like the solutions we're hearing, which are non-solutions. So,
well, you hit it right there, John. These are not solutions to any problem. These are compromises that are made to continue the same old business as usual. And basically, that's what's going on. I'm sorry. This debt reduction absolutely is a joke. I mean, when they talk about cutting spending, they're not cutting about it. You know, when they talk about reforming the tax code, reform it if you're going to reform it. But do it right. I mean, these things can all be done. But then again, that would require common sense. And there is no common sense. And this is not about, well, I got my side got it done, or your side didn't, or the Democrats, or the Republicans, or the White House. Come on, guys, it's time to wake up and lead. And we're not getting any leadership in very many areas of Washington D.C.
But yet, that's what bothers me. I think that what does still work is our congressional races, because each area of the country gets to vote without any kind of override from last-minute votes out of Chicago saying, you lost. Well, in each congressional district, you get to vote for your own representative, and you better be careful who you're voting for, because that's it. If you lose control of that, and that's what slowed this down, at least, Steve. At least we're arguing about this.
No, that's right. No. If without the Republican House, this thing would have been done 8 months ago. I mean,
they just routinely do it. And in all honesty, the Republicans and Democrats, whoever's been in leadership, have been raising the debt ceiling without incident routinely.
Right. Yep.
So, yeah.
But it's amazing, and even to this day, and I listened again today, yesterday, last night, and even these people, the audacity to understand the debt that has been created from the time he took office to now, and they keep blaming this stuff on Bush, and I go, this is absolutely incredible. I'm not saying that there isn't blame on the other administration, but I'm saying, my God, get over it. And act like adults. It had nothing to do with the other administration when you pile on $3.6 more trillion in debt.
And then what I'm hearing, the talking heads, everybody's defending their side, and I'm hearing what a great leader Barack Obama is and what he did to stand up for his party. My gosh, they spin. Everybody does it. But my goodness, no matter what, they'll come out and they'll spin it whatever way they want it. And apparently it works. It must work.
Well, I think a leader has to have integrity and some consistency, and so from that standpoint, I have to give Barack Obama an F. He's all over the board. He just says one thing like I just read and then does another.
Could you read that again one more time before a break? This is what Barack Obama said in 2006. This is word for word. This came from Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal.
Well, now, Steve, I might have already – I read it, and then I might have to read it after the break if I can find it. So
– It's a head shaker, because that is exactly what you wouldn't expect. I mean, he says what he does or doesn't do it. What is he? He gets up there and says it, and then does the polar opposite.
And he says very conventionally, but he hasn't led. I mean, this whole mess here is because he ramrodded health care through, and then the Democrats got thrown out over that. And so here he is with this Republican stalemate, which he wants to blame them, but he's not been uniting. He's not been a good leader. I don't think he's been a good president. That's my opinion, and I've pulled for him. I would love him to be a good president, but I can't say that he's been one, in my opinion. That's all, you know, and that thing I got from Jindal's gone. I just clicked it off. I'm at my computer.
Hey, but Mike, there'd be just a dictionary full of those kinds of hypocrisies, I think. I think it just says one thing and actually has done another. That's what's so perplexing.
When you're not a leader and you don't have a principle base of what you really believe, then what you do is you bounce all around. You say what's popular. You say what sounds good. You say what you think people might want to hear. But you really don't say what it's all about. And this is basically what he did in 2006, basically what he's doing now. But he's not the only one that does it. They all do it.
Yep.
They're so wishy-washy. It's a joke.
All right, we're going to take.
I have the quote if you want right before we go, Stevie.
Go right ahead.
The fact that we are here today to debate raising America's debt limit is a sign of leadership failure. It is a sign that the U.S. government can't pay its own bills. It is a sign that we now depend on ongoing financial assistance from foreign countries to finance our government's reckless fiscal policies. Increasing America's debt weakens us domestically and internationally. Leadership means that the buck stops here. Instead, Washington is shifting the burden of bad choices today onto the backs of our children and grandchildren. America has a debt problem and a failure of leadership.
Wow.
Americans deserve better. Barack Obama around 2006
right.
As a Illinois U.S. Senator.
We'll be right back. It's 10 till. Mondays and Fridays to get with Brother Johnny in Houston this morning. Mike Ditka at a golf tournament to help the Gridiron Greats up in Detroit. Okay, it's hard for me to keep up, Mike, with all of these changes in the NFL and what players are going to what team. One significant one, the Bears did not re-sign their 13-year Pro Bowl center.
Well, you know, I think that's a long time. I mean, Olin Kutz has done a great job for him. And I think, you know, you got to understand right now, guys, you're going to get a very good understanding of the fact that there is no loyalty in sports. And I keep saying this, but it's true. And it's going to become more evident now that you have these salary caps and you have restrictions on these teams where they're going to get rid of guys who make a lot of money. I'm tremendously surprised that the Colts paid that kind of money to Manning. I really am. Now, in saying that, I understand Manning's one of the greatest players ever played in the NFL. I couldn't have done it. I'm just telling you, I think these teams are starting to look at it right now and say, hey, we don't need him that much.
Yeah.
We can put this rookie in here, and we can pay him one-fourth. And basically, that's what they're doing. Now, you take a team like New England. They made two good deals. They're good deals. You know why? If they don't work out, they didn't pay anything for them.
Yeah.
And if they work out, they got two really good football players. And if Belichick can't get those guys to toe the line, nobody in the world can. So it doesn't matter.
Well, Mike, what about Manning? I thought it was less obscene than I would have expected, actually.
What did he get? How much was it?
It's like $90 million for 5 years or something?
Yeah, $90 million for 5 or 6 years, $21 million a year for the first 3 years.
Wow.
Nothing like they're talking with Albert
Pujols. They're talking $30 million a year for Albert at the end of the
year. And he turned it down.
That's fine. That's okay. I mean, that's fine. Where are you going to get it? I mean, come on, stop it, guys. I'm just saying I wouldn't have done it. Jim Irsay can do anything he wants to do. I wouldn't have done it.
Yeah.
You know, I'm just saying that. You know, if you're in business, you've got to operate your business intelligently. When you start whacking out these salaries, first of all, if he makes that much, what are you going to pay the left tackle that's protecting him?
Yeah.
That's a good question.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm old fashioned. I don't know. Maybe. Yes, I am old fashioned.
Well, you got Plaxico Burress to the Jets. Can he still play football, I guess, is the question.
Oh, yeah. Well, he poses a threat, first of all, because of his size. He's always going to be that type of receiver. We can be a possession receiver because of his size. Can he play? You know, that's up to his head. Where's his head? I don't know. If his head's in the right place, he can be a player. I mean, he's not over the hill as far as age is concerned. So it's just a matter of whether he can, you know, if his head's in the right spot, he can help him.
Well, Stevie, any rumors about Favre, or did they make it
nothing,
part of the deal
no.
that he can't unretire? Jay Leno said part of the deal was that Favre cannot unretire.
That's pretty good.
I have not heard any Favre rumors, but it looks like we're getting on track. But boy, they've never, I don't think, had this many signings because the window's so short. But it's just been daily where two, three pretty big names. And again, as you mentioned, Bill Belichick up in New England, I mean, to sign Ochinco and this Haynesworth, you're right. If they can get on the team thing, they can be incredible buys.
Well, No. It's an if. Not an if. If they don't, they're gone.
I see.
I mean, you understand right
now. Rid of him. Yeah,
and Ochinco already said, he says, I'm doing it the Patriot way. He knows he is. Now, I know if Haynesworth has a brain in his head, he will do the same thing. They will go up there and they will bust their butts and they will become good team players on a very good football team with one of the best coaches in the game. Well, or maybe the best coach in the game. So, you know, it's just a matter of common sense. Whatever you want to do with the rest of your career. If they want to have the rest of their career, they do the right thing.
But amazing, when I heard the Ochocinco talk about the fact that he's probably not going to talk to the media, I said, what? Really? How can he keep that in? I mean, he's got millions following him on Twitter. How's a guy like that? That part of his show is to do this kind of stuff. Crazy. Well, we'll see what happens to see if he can, in fact, keep quiet and just do his job. All right, we will meet again here on Friday. It's always a pleasure. And, guys, I really appreciate it. Mike, I hope you hit him straight up there in Detroit today.
All right. Talk about Mike. Thank you, guys. Well, I won't hit him
to
say, but thank you. Talk to you Monday.
Talk to you later. Bye-bye. That's Mike Ditka. Thank you, Brother Johnny, in Houston today. Always a pleasure as we get together Mondays and Fridays and try and cover it all up.